This week, we're talking about the end of the most iconic motoring trio of all time and the latest news on the International Harvester Scout revival. We also have a very special guest dropping by the studio, our friend comedian Carl Tart. But first, Canadian Grand Theft Auto. Oh, let me squeeze past you right there. Sorry. Welcome to the Big Three. A bigger three this week. We got Tristan Kim.
Hello.
And Sandro Miranda, which you might recognize from RMS. He's doing more main channel stuff now, which is awesome. And Tristan, your video on the VIP car just came out about a week ago, right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Are you still hanging out with those guys at Foster's?
We got into a little bit of a tizzy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So basically, like, one guy wanted to be the new boss. And I had to lay his brains out on the blacktop.
Oh, man.
So
the first kill is always the hardest. And then it gets easier from there.
They say the second's easiest and the third is like whatever.
Yeah. Fourth is like the best.
Yeah, the best.
Number 10, you forget about it.
Yeah, you're just done.
Yeah. What's your body count?
Have you seen when they were asking like this actual like Italian mobs? Like, hey, what's your body count? Yeah. He's like, that's something I talk about. He's like, no sex. He's like, oh!
That's funny. There's a fly like buzzing like, around your head right now.
Yeah, because I'm stink, bro.
All that dead bodies right there.
Just to update you guys, Nolan and Max are in Germany right now. They're in Wolfsburg driving every generation Golf, VW Golf, which is sick.
Oh, that's badass.
I'm jealous. We're actually going to lose Nolan every episode this month because of Hilo and other shoots. Oh, his wedding is also, he's taking a week off for his wedding.
I'm going to be watching his cats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, Spoon?
I haven't met the cats yet, but I said, on one condition, while you're in Germany, send me a photo of Max holding a spear like a wizard.
Yeah.
So like, I think he thinks I'm joking. Like, he doesn't send me that by the time he comes back. I'm not watching his cat.
Are you going to Photoshop it or what?
No, I want Mac. They got to figure it out, dude.
Oh, it's like
find
a quest.
The spear, hold it like a wizard, take a photo, send it to me. I watch your cats.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Dude? Neuters, what?
Where are you getting that from?
It's a weird request that you're asking already.
All right. Sandro requested it be nude, Mac.
Yeah, you have to fulfill your request. I feel like a more attainable goal would be like eat a sausage, drink from a boot.
That's what I was thinking about all that, but I was like, oh, they're gonna be taking those anyway.
Yeah, you know?
I want them to go out of their way. Dude, this fly is so funny. Yeah,
I know. This fly,
that like fly is on you. You were talking about dead bodies and it's all over you now.
It's like a big
fly. You guys
fly.
Smell sulfur?
Is that also a fly on the wall right there?
Oh, that's a
screw.
Oh, it's a screw. Okay. I saw this on the internet. I thought it was worth bringing up. This new Prius body kit. I actually kind of with it a little bit. It's made by this company, G-Nexus. The back looks sick. How you guys feel about Prius body kits?
I love them. I love Priuses.
Yeah.
I think they're badass.
The new one looks sick. Stands. I like the new one.
I like the back.
You guys remember in like the early 2000s when they'd have movies about the future and they'd like special create cars?
Yeah.
Of what they think they would look like? That's what this is giving to me, dude.
It's bad.
It just looks like a space pod.
It does look like a pod, but it's so low. Like I love...
The sexy ass pond.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be real. Like, I love Priuses. Like, I'm.
You know, besides a Porsche, I would get the Prius.
I feel like, no, I just feel like, like, you pull up on that, like, doing space business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're like, I got seven Gleep Glorps.
Exactly. Like, I just can't. I just don't see it as, like a regular guy hopping out of that. I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
I'll hop out of that shit all day. That shit is bad. I like it. I'm a big fan of that Prius.
I do like it.
I just can't afford it. But I mean, I was so by that shit.
Yeah.
They're so overpriced right now. Like,
I know. They're a hot commodity. Talk about like flying off the parking lot at the dealership. Those things don't last very long. Let's get into the stories of the week, huh? If you're new to this podcast, we do like three big automotive stories a week. What people are talking about. Local news. And if you like it, please like and subscribe and tell your friends. That's how we grow.
Click the subscribe button.
Click it.
And like.
It. Smash it.
Like the video.
Smash.
Would you button. Smash?
Smash.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your body count, though?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about murder.
Oh, God. Whoa. He doesn't want to talk about it either.
Yeah, I don't want to. My wife's watching. If you've ever wondered what Grand Theft Auto 6 would look like in Canada instead of Vice City, last week, a 25-year-old man in Ontario, allegedly in possession of stolen weapons, stole a Ford Bronco, and he was pulled over in a Tim Hortons drive-thru. If you can get any more Canadian than that. The driver tried to escape by driving over the police cruisers after the police cruisers blocked him in. I think we should watch the video real quick because it's pretty funny.
Please.
So he's in the parking, he's in the drive-thru right now getting his Timbits. And he's trying, he's like butted up against this police cruiser trying to drive over him. Dude's got his gun drawn, which
pull
is
down. Crazy.
Yeah.
Overlanding.
Up the hood.
Oh, hell yeah. That was gangster.
Over the cruiser. And now he's stuck. So he like, he started at like 2 stars.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just paid a misdemeanor fine or whatever.
Yeah, got away.
Now he's got 5 stars.
And didn't even do that much damage. 5 stars and you just go forward. That's it. No, I wouldn't do that.
Not yeah. worth it. Get a little gap. So much of his loot is going to be taken when he exits the hospital or jail.
I would have ran out. I would have ran out.
Wasted, dude.
While we're on the subject of Ford Broncos, the highly anticipated reveal of the revived International Scout is coming back October 24th. Scout Motors also released new teaser photos with the announcement. This was kind of a big deal maybe 6 months ago when VW bought International Scout. They built a factory in South Carolina.
They come pre-squatted.
International Scouts?
Yeah, they're built in South Carolina.
Oh. Oh, yeah, like
Carolina squat.
Yeah, yeah, VW.
That'd be badass. So.
That actually started getting banned.
No, so they banned it. And what was funny is like on TikTok, like a bunch of the, like these squatted truck guys were like having like really emotional music. It was like, it's hard when you work so hard just for them to take it away. And I was like, bro, just put the blocks in the back of the truck, dude.
Yeah.
That's it takes 30 right. minutes, dog.
I don't like that trend, honestly.
I think with a little bit of a mild squat, it can look good, you know, sort of pre-runnery.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as like you have to like bend over the steering wheel to make sure you're not running over a kid.
Oh, that's the thing is like when people do it with like big Yukons and stuff or just like Rams even with the huge hood line, you already can't see over the hood when it's like normal.
Can't see over.
It's the same thing of like, you know, really, really stretched tires or anything. Like I get it. Like it's style, but like, if you like ran over one of my family members because you couldn't see, like, oh my God.
I'd come at you so hard. Anyways, let's talk about this International Scout. VW is going to electrify it. It kind of looks like a Rivian from.
It does.
It looks just like a Rivian.
That's just gross.
One. You don't like Rivians?
No, they're ugly.
It's got this weird kind of curve on the truck version. It's got this curve at the bumper, the back rear bumper.
Yeah, like curves down.
Which makes me think if anyone ran into you, they're going right under you.
They're going to hit the bottom of your wheels, pull your suspension.
But it does kind of have that old, like I feel like old Scouts have that chopped look on the top. Like the belt line's very high and then the greenhouse part of it is very like low profile, which I love. And they're kind of trying to replicate that in this, but not to the point where it's obvious. Like it's still, it just looks like a Rivian to me, which is very popular now. Like I feel like Tesla fanboys, I feel like are switching over to Rivian.
The newest trend.
Yeah.
That's what I hate. Like everybody switches out. New car comes out. It's like a f-ing phone now.
Yeah. It's corny.
Like
as
the
hell.
New phone came out. You're going to drop the old one. Like,
but tech reviewers are getting into the car space now and they're just kind of like reviewing it like they would a Galaxy.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, you know, like now we have a 55-inch wide screen and, you know, there's all these features and stuff. And I feel like it's getting away from the driving experience.
It just seems like they bought a brand name similar to like the new Hummer.
Yeah.
And they just electrify it and say bleep, bloop, bloop, bloop. And they're just relying on the name, similar to how Mitsubishi took the Eclipse.
I think it's going to have the same architecture as like the ID4. Or like the VW ID Buzz. Like it's just going to be that with this shell on top.
Exactly. And the sad thing about electric cars is I mean, all you need is that big platform of batteries and those motors, and you can just...
You're chilling.
The design isn't really based upon necessity.
You already have, like, a virtual locking diff. You already have, like, it's measuring slip 1,000 times a second. So, like, you already have all of that built in to every electric car, basically.
Take your old Mitsubishi Stereon in.
Well, here's the deal. Electric. Like, for 99.99% of people, they say, hell yeah, less work.
Yeah.
For the... goofballs like us, we're just gonna go down with the ship. That's how I feel. That's why right now, like, in terms of my financial decision making, whenever people are like, oh, buy a house, do this, do that, no, I'm all spending it on cars.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to savor it for as much as I can.
Yeah,
before they're just like,
cars are real estate. Cars are real estate.
That's the thing, is we did a video a while ago of, like, electric vehicles depreciating, and you can get, like, the Audi e-tron GT. It was like $160,000 car 2 years ago. You can get it for like 70 now.
Well, just think about, like, the components of an internal combustion engine, just how much variation there can be in terms of engineering, the sound, the vibration, the whole holistic experience of driving the car.
Yeah.
I've driven plenty of electric cars. They are so similar. The only thing is, like, oh, this one puts you back in your seat a little bit faster.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you used to get in a Mustang or a Camaro. You used to step on it. You used to feel the power. You used to hear it.
The soul.
It was
the car.
The soul of the car. Like, when you're driving down the block and you're stepping on it, you feel the power of that engine doing its job. Like, you feel complete. But when you're driving an electric car, you're stepping on the gas. Like,
That is, like, a really good point about all the variables that you get with an internal combustion engine, even down to, like, if it's naturally aspirated versus supercharged or whatever, the angle of the engine also dictates, like, the sound of
the
it.
The position,
like,
of the engine in the car.
Yeah. There's so much that, like, variance.
The way the gears are cut. The ratios, all of it. There's so much involved. And sure, that also can apply to electric cars, but
they have to,
much,
like,
less degree.
Program it in to be like, oh, we're going to program in a shift.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're actually driving.
And the thing about it, electric cars just feel like, I feel like they just need to try to be something so different. Which is why everybody shits on the Cybertruck, but I actually love the Cybertruck. Despite all of its design flaws, as just, like, a pillar of design to, like, break away and just say, screw everything, this is what we're going to do, that's refreshing to me.
But, like, the way that he handled it is so whack.
Yeah, it's just
that he, like,
whack.
Pushed this through to the detriment of the car, where, like, you saw Whistling Diesel's video.
I mean, have you seen the control arms on that car?
They're, like, as big as a thumb.
Yeah, they're, like, sheet metal, like, tiny, tiny, tiny thin.
And I think that's another thing that, like, tech reviewers do, is, like, they're like, show me your truck that can do this. And
yeah,
it's,
like, I was like,
going
show me
through,
a
like,
truck that can hit,
water.
Like, a 2-inch speed bump and not shear the wheel off.
I know. Sad news. Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond, and James May's final episode of the Grand Tour. And as a trio of presenters releases on Friday, were you guys big... Grand Tour fans, or
I never watched it regularly, but all the clips stick in my head.
I wasn't a huge fan, but there are some episodes that stood out. I really liked the Reliant Robin one, where they kept flipping the three-wheel Reliant Robin. The best version of British humor, where it's just like, you know, repeat the same joke a million times, but it's funny every time. I'm just, like, flipping over. They were a huge inspiration for us when we first started. Like, having a cast that could, like, give each other shit.
Yeah.
And, but we're also, you know, like, caring at the end of the day. Just talking to, like, James May when he came on the show last, or a couple weeks ago, made me realize that, like, that's very rare. You get personalities like that, that gel and can last for a really long time.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's hard. Like, is it where you're fine friends?
Yeah.
They were just the best trio that could have had that time period of automotive history.
Yeah. And that was, like, the sweet spot too.
It was the sweet spot.
Like, they got, you know, all the amazing cars of the late 90s.
Yeah. Definitely.
They got to see, like, a changing market and see, like, you know, all the whackness of, like, the retro futurist shit of, like, you know, like the Thunderbird, the 2004
PT
Thunderbird
Cruiser.
Era.
They
yeah,
got,
PT Cruiser.
They got the best years, I think.
Yeah, they
I
did.
I want to say, they didn't get... I think they would have talked more shit if they would have got these years.
Yeah.
Honestly, they got the best years. The cars are still fucking pretty solid. Yeah, there was errors, but
people were trying.
Yeah, people took swings. Like, companies took huge swings.
But it wasn't gimmicky. It wasn't like, our screen is 4 inches wider this time, or now it has adaptive cruise control that farts whenever you hit the brake.
Oh, you remember Spaceballs? Remember that movie Spaceballs? Well, you can put it in Spaceballs mode.
Yeah, in your Tesla dude. Plaid. And it's so funny and like, hee-hee-hee.
Yeah.
It's just so random. Oh my God. It's not real.
The Top Gear guys basically hit like the peak of
golden era of cars.
Dude, looking at like old classifieds from this era, like early 2000s, makes me so sad. You can find like 80s RX-7s for like $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
You can find 240s for super cheap.
Mitsubishi Stereons.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if we're just getting old and our tastes are just what we couldn't afford as kids.
That's what it is.
I like how you say we're getting old.
You're like 22.
How old are you?
Not going to say.
What's your age count?
He looks like you. What's your age count?
Speaking of celebrities, you might have seen our next guest on NBC's The Grand Crew or the Peacock original In the Know. We got a friend of the channel, Carl Tart, which we will cut to right now. All right, welcome back to the Big Three. We got guest Carl Tart with us right here.
Yo.
Welcome, Carl.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. Just a little background. Me and Carl have been doing comedy for 14 years-ish.
Yeah.
We started doing improv a long time ago, and now we're in very different parts of the entertainment business.
Yeah.
You're doing very well. You got...
You talk mostly about cars. I talk mostly about walking.
Heelys?
Yeah, Heelys. I believe in Heelys. I don't believe in cars.
You were on NBC's Grand Crew.
Yeah.
Which our friend Phil Jackson sold, right?
He created that.
He's the creator. And then most recently you were on In the Know on Peacock.
Peacock, yeah.
And you've been on every podcast.
Every single one.
Yeah. How does our operation compare?
Oh, this has been great. Let me tell you, I got here an hour ago and we're finally starting. No, it's my-
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
My bad. Life.
Hey, man, life be life in though.
Yeah. So you were on another podcast we did a long time ago that never aired called The Long Way.
And man. Y'all gotta find the leaked episode. It never aired for a reason.
Yeah, they
too hot for pod.
We don't want to cancel him just yet. But you talked about like your car journey. Like,
yeah.
Have you always been into cars?
Not really. It hasn't been like a thing that I necessarily like cared about to a huge extent. Yeah. But I always wanted one. Like I grew up in LA and taking a bus sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't run fast enough. You stand
not
a chance,
time.
Not on time.
Not
you,
on time.
You stand a chance of getting jumped, depending on what area you're from.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Damn right about that.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
You gotta hide your phone in your sock. And
yeah. I was on the Metro a while ago, and I was like, I've always preached like, oh, the Metro is clean. Like, it runs on time, is quiet, whatever. As soon as I said that, I went on like literally one stop to go to a bar, and this dude pulled a steak knife out. And was like talking to himself and just like slammed it into a car seat or like a seat.
Yeah.
And everyone just started like slowly backing away. And I was like, please, like, it's only one stop. Let me get out of here. It's kind of sketchy, but I'm glad that you're driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee right now, right?
Yeah. I got the 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee, not the 4xe.
Not the 4xe.
I like to pay full price for gas.
But it's all, did it come all murdered out like that? Or was that
I did
you?
That.
Oh, you did that. Okay.
Yeah. I made it. 50 Cent on the Beef DVD said he had a bulletproof Jeep Grand Cherokee, and I've always wanted that.
Oh, shit. That's good.
Mine is not bulletproof.
But you've tried.
I will get shot.
I was about to say that's bad.
Yeah. You remember that DVD, though? You remember when
he was
like? Yeah,
I remember. I saw it.
Because it was after he got shot, like, whatever, 7 times that he got shot.
Nine times.
Then,
yeah.
That's gangster how you take that, though.
Yeah. And then he got the bulletproof Jeep Grand Cherokee. It used to be a hot car back in the 90s. Everybody wanted it. It was like the hip hop. It was the hip hop car of the 90s.
I wanted like a forest green WJ. I think that was like 2005 era Grand Cherokee because it was just like the leather was really good. That like gray or tan leather. It just felt way more luxury than any kind of Chrysler car at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super luxury. Like, here's what I'll say. So before, actually, last time I came, I had just gotten a new car. I had the 2020 Cadillac CT5.
Man, are you a leaser?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that one I had to buy because it was during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so, all right, let me give you the whole rundown here.
Yeah.
How much time we got?
However, an hour.
I'll give you the history of all my cars. So yeah. I had to buy my first car because my mom didn't have money to buy me a car ever. So yeah. I was on the bus. I would share my mom's car, but she was like weird about it. Like she would like never fill up the gas tank, which is like never put any gas. So like she would also like being on my mom's car, being on my mom's car schedule.
Yeah.
Like when I was living at home, I'd be like, Mom, I gotta be like, when we first started doing improv stuff, I was like, Mom, yeah. I gotta be at class at like 7 o'clock. So, and I lived in Windsor Hills, which is like basically like Inglewood area.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, Mom, I have to drive up. It takes like 50 minutes for like almost an hour to get up there during that time for me to get up there, find parking in Hollywood. Like
I gotta everything. Have it at this time.
I gotta have it at this time. Are you gonna be home?
Yeah.
If you're not, I get on the bus happily. I jump on the 212 and I'm good. It drops me off right in front of the like theater or whatever. And she would be like, I'll be home. I'll be home. And I'll go, okay. But like, please tell me if you're not going to be here.
It's fine if you're not.
It's fine if you're not. I have to get on the bus at least 2 hours before I would need the car. Like I'd be like, all right, if you be home by 5, like I'm good, but I need you to tell me by 4.
Yeah.
Time is slipping away.
Oh no.
I'm looking at the clock, 2 o'clock passing. She's not home. 3 o'clock passing. She's not home. I go, okay, now I'm getting nervous. So like 3:30-ish when I'm like, okay, I need to be like walking out the door.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Ma, are you coming? She wouldn't answer. Like either answer or like get mad. Like, it's my car. I can do what I want to. Yeah. I'm like, then why you gonna tell? Like, don't tell me I can use it. Like, I'm fine without it. I just need to know if I need to get on the bus. Yeah. I'm coming home. You can hear she's at like happy hour with her friends at TGI Fridays or whatever. Like
another shot.
Yeah. I'm like listening to her order margaritas and saying they're too salty or whatever. And then I'm like, Ma, like just let me know if you're coming home or what. Yeah. Like, and she would get mad or whatever. Like, then start. You 20 something years old. You need to be like, you 20 years old. You can have your. I'm like, we talked about this.
Yeah.
Like, and so I had to get my own car. I just like it, being on her schedule was awful.
Yeah.
And like having me late, or I was just like, whatever, I'm just gonna go get on the bus.
Yeah.
And or if she's bringing it home, she's got an attitude, and I get in the car and the light is on.
Oh,
so I have to stop. But I don't have no money like that at this time. Like, so I'm like trying to figure out, okay, well, I guess I could put, and this is like during that first Obama term where gas was crazy. Like, I mean, kind of like it is now. Yeah. But like it was, remember in like 2009, 2010,
the
where
first
gas
time
was like,
it spiked.
The first time it spiked past $4.
Oh, this is crazy. We got to pay $4 for a gas.
Yeah.
Shit, like $5.75.
I know, for real. Think about what we pay now. But like, you know, like if I only got $10 to put in the gas tank, that's 2 gallons. And I'm going up to Hollywood and coming back. And she was driving a Kia Sorento. It was a big, heavy ass car. And so the gas is like, it's not stretching. Yeah. And then in the morning, she's mad that there's like, that the light came back on again. She's like, you don't put no gas. I was like, I did. I don't have money like that.
Yeah.
So I got lucky and I booked a commercial and it was like one of those real people commercials where you're supposed to be a real person, but they hired an actor. It was a Christmas for the 2011 Ford Escape.
How did you prepare to be a real person? Were you doing method?
They literally made us improvise. And it was me and my girlfriend at the time. They like, we're hiring couples. But she was white. They wasn't going to put us on TV together. they was like, this isn't a realistic couple. This blonde girl, this big ass black dude. It's going to be too much chatter about it.
But it was for a Ford Escape?
Yeah, for the 2011 Ford Escape.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, just act like you were just like walking through, like, oh, honey, this is nice. But they paired me up with this like random black lady. And in the commercial, I booked it. And then remember Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe?
Yeah.
Like he walks out, he goes, you guys like this? And we go, oh, Dirty Jobs. Like, man, you selling this car? Like, you car? And then it's like the new Ford Escape. And it ran. I got paid off of that. I made like $7,000 off of that. And I was like, finally, I'm able to buy a car. So I started like getting on Craigslist and I was like, all right, started researching like, all right, what's something in the budget that I could afford? And I started like focusing, like honing in on like early 2000s Camrys. And I was like, that's what I want. Like I want one of those.
That's also a safe bet right there.
Yeah.
But they used to be get they used to get jacked a lot though.
They did. Yeah.
I'm curious though about the React thing, because that was such a hotly, you know, it was controversial because we knew it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And you're just verifying right now that 100% it wasn't real.
No. They hired. So how,
was anybody like overreacting to the escape?
Yeah. Whoa, it's great.
Do you see this? Were these
nutting in their pants?
Just saying stuff that the average person would not say about a car. Like
or
the
a
average,
Ford Escape.
A Ford, especially a Ford Escape. Yeah. But like saying stuff that the average, like, wow, dude. These features, like, look at this. Yeah. Look at this big LED screen. Like, I don't know
that's AM radio.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, wow, Sirius XM radio. And
go wild.
We are paying for that. We are subscribing to that.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like shit like that. But you had like real people. But then at the bottom, you can, there's in the fine print on those real people commercials, it always says, like, not real people, paid actors.
Fake ass people.
Yeah. Actors.
How are they able to get away with it's just an asterisk?
Yeah,
rid of the bottom, any liability.
Real people. Or sometimes they'll say, like, if it is a real, like, sometimes like medicine commercials where be like, I've been taking this medicine for 20 years and it saved my life. Those type of people are real people, but they do still pay them a commercial fee. Yeah. But they're like, oh, I haven't, like, if you want to.
I thought they were going to say, oh, we're all f***ing on drugs. Yeah, right now.
That's like
doing
super
some
ethical.
Type of drug for 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing something for 20 years. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But yeah, so
put with a pipe on the side, like. What's going on?
But I did that commercial. I made the money, and then like my stepdad was like, he's a big car guy, so he was like, "All right, you got like this. What's in the back?" I hit him up first.
Oh, that's fine.
And we was like going through. He's like, "Here's what you want to look for. You want to look for single owners.
Yeah.
You want to get every VIN number so you can check the Carfax. Like, that's you want to make sure there's never been any accidents. Don't have no water damage. Everything." And I'm like, "Yeah. Like I'm like." That process is taking way too long because those cars virtually don't exist on Craigslist.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
At that time, though, what was this, like 20-something?
2011.
Yeah.
And so it was a little better. And I went and seen, like, we went and drove out to Orange County, and we went to this old dude's house. He had a Mitsubishi Galant, and it was his, and he was getting rid of it. He was like, oh, it was my wife's, and she can't drive anymore, or something like that.
Yeah.
And I hated it. Like, I didn't like the way it looked, right? I didn't like the way it sounded. I just kind of had my mindset on getting like a 2004 Camry, and I was going to put rims on it. Yeah. And like, I was going to like hook it up. And I had the image in my head already, which is like ghetto as hell when you think about it now, but I wanted that shit so bad.
It's already slammed in your ass.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's every first slam. Car, man. Every first car is like something that you had to settle for.
Yeah.
But you still want to trick it out.
You want to trick it out? Yeah. So I want to do something. I want to get a paint job, everything. And I'm kind of like not listening to my stepdad, but he's like, he's telling me real shit. Like, he's like, this is a good car. I think you should buy it. And the dude was like selling it for like $3,200, which is not bad at all. I still would have had money left over in my pocket. And I was like, nah, I don't like it. And I didn't want it. And then I started looking on my own because my stepdad started getting frustrated with me.
Yeah.
And I started looking on my own. And I found this guy who had a Camry in like Anaheim, and he was like single owner. He was a weird dude on the phone, I could tell. And then I showed up to meet him in Anaheim. I had two of my homies go with me, two of my older homies. I'm thinking like, they'll guide me. They'll be fatherly figures. They didn't know shit about cars. And so
they're like, oh, you promised me Jack in the Box.
Yeah. And so like we get down there and I test drove it. And this is where y'all car people are about to get real mad at me, but every experience is a learning experience. So I test drove it, and we're on the freeway, and I'm taking it up 70, 80. But every time the gears would go up, it would clunk.
The
it
donkey
jump.
Kick.
It would jump after like going in the third, and I was like, "What is that?" And he's like, "It's an older car. Older cars will do stuff like that." Well, like, it's not that old. It's only like 10 years old. It was like a 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, "It's only like 10 years old, and it only has like 130,000 miles on it or something," which was also a lot. Like but I'm doing this kind of behind my stepdad's back. Even this is a lesson to you young adults out there. You're still not grown. Listen to older people. Because he was
sometimes.
Not all the time, of course. But this time I should have been listening to my stepdad and then I get there and he's like, "All right, well, do we have a deal?" And that kind of intimidated me. I was like, Yeah, I'll take it. And I paid $3,700. I paid even more for that car. And I was like, why did I just do that? Why did I just give that man the money? He signed over the thing to me. I drove it home. It had a bad paint job. Like the paint was rusting off of kind of like on the hood. And I Googled, I was like, why didn't I just like young people mistake. I was like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I just Google? And I Googled what that was. And it was like, that means the transmission's bad.
Yeah.
Like that means the transmission will have to be replaced. And I go, damn, how much that cost? And they're like, oh, it costs a lot. I was like, damn, like damn near half the price of the car it cost. Yeah. And I was like, why did I do this? And then I showed my stepdad was like, I heard you got a car. My mom, because they're not even together anymore. And he like came to pick up my little brother. And he was like, heard you got a car. Because I was like hiding it from him. I was like, yeah, that's it right there. He goes, all right.
Okay.
You happy with that? And I go, yeah. He goes, okay. And that icing that he did to me was like,
yep.
I tried to tell
all
you.
Right.
I drove that car for a year.
Without messing with the transmission?
Yeah. I got a job in Europe doing comedy stuff, and I was trying to sell, like, to get money.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm just going to sell the car. 2 weeks before I left, I go to Roscoe's in Hollywood, and I park, and I'm trying to parallel park, and I put it in reverse, and I'm pushing on it, and it don't go nowhere.
Oh, no.
It don't go. And I'm like, and it's going, like, real slow, like, drifting back. Like, even though I'm like, and it's just drifting back. And I'm like, what the hell? It still went forward, but it didn't go back. So I'm like, okay, I got to figure out how to finesse this. Like, how do I sell this? How do I still get some money from this car? So those people that be on Craigslist, like, we buy junk cars. We'll give you money for them. I got one of those guys to come. I let him test drive it, and he only went forward around the block.
Oh,
he only went forward, and I'm thinking, like, please don't put the car in reverse. Please don't put the car in reverse. Please don't put the car in reverse.
Yeah.
He only going forward. He get back to the house. I was like, man, I mean, it's a Camry. It's a good car. It's not, miles not that high. I'm thinking like $2,000. Like, can I get $2,000 from you? This car is worth $6 at this time. He comes back. He goes, I can't do $2,000, but I could do 15.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah, damn. Acting skills come in. Damn, 15, man. You can't give me, come on, man. 15. Come on, man. You robbing me. All right, man. Mom, get the bill of sale because it was in her briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
She still had all my important documents at the time. And she goes and gets it, and I hand it over to him. He gave me $1,500 cash. We do the sale, and he drives off. And I'm like, Mom, get in the house, get in the house. Yeah.
Did you get a phone call?
Never.
Okay, that's
close
great.
The door.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. He was gone. So I ended up, I took an L on it, but you know, I had it for a year.
It's not that bad.
It's not,
not that bad. $2,200. Like, I mean, considering now, like back then, that was like huge. I was like, I can't believe I spent like half my first big check on this car, and it screwed me.
I went through so many like $900 cars, just trying to scrape by. But I feel like that's the curse of like when people find out you're into cars, they ask for your opinion, but don't listen to anything you say.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's like when you're going to go buy something and somebody's telling you not to get it, you want to get it.
Yeah. 100%.
It doesn't matter. Like, I've taken so many people to buy cars. Sometimes the car's knocking and I'm like, ugh, like it doesn't sound good, you know? And they're like, but I like it. And I'm like, I know, but it's knocking, but I like it. I'm like, so we both like it then.
All right.
Whatever, Dick.
It's like, your
it
money.
Matter. It doesn't matter. Like, you could be like the best mechanic in the world and telling them, like, you know what? This is going to cost you $2,000.
Yeah, you could have the itemized thing of like, everything. You're going to have to replace
and
this.
And then that guy's still like, it doesn't matter. Just flying through his head, like, so you're telling me why?
Yeah,
why
but not? It's look at the brown.
Look at the
it's brown.
It sounds good.
But that was, I got rid of that one, was gone for a year. And then when I came back, I needed a car because I like had to get to work and stuff. And right before I got back, one of my homeboys had gotten, he had a Ford Focus.
Yeah.
And he had gotten into a really bad accident. He got T-boned. But the car, there was no frame damage, so it could still be driven, but it was just like the passenger seat, the passenger side was crushed in. The back window was a little bit off, like there was a gap in between there, so it was a bunch of pine needles and shit in the car.
Easy solution, just never have a passenger in that.
Yeah, well, I got stories about that. You would have to climb over.
Either
you sit in the back or you would have to climb over the front seat. So I took dates out with that car. Like, it was embarrassing as hell, but
I swear to God, I feel like you're saying my story.
Yeah.
That's so badass, dude. Yeah. Like, my dad gave me a car that was crashed from one side, like so nasty. There was like a big ass gap. The door was like this.
Yeah.
And I'll go on a date with a girl.
Yeah.
Not my wife. She's going to get mad.
Yeah.
I would go on a date and then the rain would just it was like I was chilling. We went to the movies and I'm going back to drop her off and it's raining inside the car and I'm over here like looking at the girl, and I'm like, you know, you can sit behind me. Yeah. You can go in the back, you know? So, it's, yeah, I
get they enjoy
you,
climbing over you. That seat. The tape, I had to put tape. I had to put a tape job. Like, I had to tape up the whip. my improv team, white women, like, they would roast the shit. I mean, we call that car the Gemini because it had two faces. Harvey Dent, we called him because big ass dent on the side. But I got it for free. And it's still, it's like, good on gas and Ford Focus.
Yeah.
I drove by a high school one time and them kids roasted the shit out of me.
Oh. Worse like, is
none
when
of these kids have cars. They get on the bus.
Dude.
Yeah. They was like,
behind
oh,
a bus,
no.
I just keep
just, like, pointing out.
Yeah, driving yeah. past the high school at 3 o'clock, man. I'm 25 years old. I'm like embarrassed at these kids, but I drove that car for like 3 years, and then like that car was given to me. Like he yeah. literally gave it to me for free.
Yeah,
I drove it for 3 years, needed it. I get a job on Mad TV.
Oh,
I started
shit.
Writing on Mad TV.
This is the resurgence.
Like yeah, 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 the reboot. Yeah,
yeah.
I started writing on Mad TV, and one of the homies, John Barinholtz, is. Getting rid of his car. He's like, I'm about to get another car because we're about to have kids and I want another car. He wanted a Prius.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, you selling your car? Like, what type of car is it? And he goes, it's a 2005 Toyota Camry. And I go,
oh,
because that was the model that I wanted. Like yeah, that was the model. I was like, what color is it? It's forest green. It's my favorite color. And I was like, I'll buy it right now. He's like, dude, no, it's kind of, you know, you don't want this car. I was like, how many miles on it? 95,000. 95,000? And you're the first. He's like, yeah, I'm the original owner. I go, he's like, but I've had it for like, bro, I had it for like 10 years, bro. You don't want, I was like, bro, sell me that car. Like,
yeah.
I will pay. Like, I don't care. He was like, all right, yeah, if you want to buy it.
You're not going
to
want it. It's only $2,000.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how much he charged me for.
Really?
He charged me $2,000.
Oh, man.
He sold me the car and I had seen pictures of people putting rims on a
there you go.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Why?
But that car was great.
So you got the Camry,
yeah,
and then
perfect
was
car
Challenger after that.
Yeah, after that, I was able like I was able to give my brother the Camry as his first car.
That's
and
nice.
He was still in high school at the time, so yeah. I gave him that car, and then I bought at least the Challenger.
Yeah,
and I kept that for 2 years. I'm way too big for that car, man.
Dude, it's long, but it's surprisingly small inside.
Yeah, super small inside. I would hit my head every time I got in. It would just make me resent the car.
Yeah,
and it was like junk mail. Like, we'll buy your lease. We'll buy you out of your lease. And I was like, okay, let's go see.
Yeah.
And I'm walking out. He goes, let me show you. He's like, you like trucks? I was like, hell yeah. Let me show you one thing. And he takes me out back, brand new Silverado, black on black, like 26 inch tires. Mm-hmm. It was so dope. Z71. Like I was like, oh. And he saw that on my face. That dude was probably like, gotcha, sucker. Because he knew. And it's the worst time that I did this, but I ended my lease like only after a year. It was a 3-year lease.
Did you want a big truck still?
Nah, I wanted to get a car. Like, I was like, I'm going to get a car. So I said, let me go look at Cadillac. And Cadillac had the Black Wing. Not going to get that, of course.
Black Wing's sick, though.
Yeah, it's tight. Yeah. I do want it in the future.
Yeah.
But, like, they had the CT5, and I was like, I'll get that. We got a decent deal. It was a little bit more money than I wanted to pay for it, but that car was cool. It treated me well.
Yeah.
And I kept it for 3 years, and then I traded it in for what I got currently.
Oh, yeah. And that's your car journey.
That's my car journey.
Okay, if you had $100,000 to spend on a build, what's your... What kind of vintage car are you buying and how are you going to trick it out?
I want a, like, between 88 to 95 short bed F-150. Like, maybe even the 93 Lightning.
Mm.
All black.
Yeah.
Black it out.
Yeah.
Put some big wheels on it.
Black Lightning. That's a sick car
name. Black Lightning, yeah.
You have that airbrush on the back?
Yeah. I have that airbrush on the back. And I would dress like that superhero every time I drove it and...
And it would have the Saints logo.
Yeah. Do that. But that's what I like. Those are so hard to find.
Yeah, but for $100,000, you could make a really nice one.
Yeah, I have some money left over. Is what I'm saying. Please give me $100,000.
Maybe you can do a commercial for a '93 Ford Lightning.
It's a '93 Ford F-150 Lightning.
Whoa, is that
CD? Cassette? AM, FM radio?
Real person.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like this.
Your mind.
Can we do that again and can you not turn into a bobblehead?
A real person.
Well, Carl, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to plug anything,
If you like sports and comedy mixed together, listen to my basketball podcast called The Flagrant Ones. If you go to patreon.com/Hollywood Handbook, there's a lot of content on that Patreon. Sign up for it. You get all of it in a bundle. There's a football podcast, a basketball podcast, and just a general Hollywood podcast.
Yeah. Real quick, how do you feel about the Saints this season?
Hey, you saw what we did this weekend. I don't mean to date the podcast, but we beat the shit out of the Panthers this week. I don't mean to date the podcast, but we just won the Super Bowl. 10-7, I think. 10-7.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for watching. Please follow Tristan at
Mr_Molecule.
And Sandro at... That's
one crazy ass name. Miranda's Shop on Instagram.
Yeah, go to Miranda's Shop. They do great work, too, if you live in the LA area. Follow us. And we'll see you next week. Bye.